Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Good morning and welcome back to the Roundtable and to our book pick segment for this Tuesday morning. Jackie Callahan of the Golden Notebook in Woodstock, New York, has been keeping track of what literary pursuits are worth our precious summer time, and she joins us in Studio A this morning. Good morning, Jackie. It's great to see you.
Thank you, Joe. It's great to be here.
Great article in the Daily Freeman.
I know.
It was very nice.
So great, right?
You can see it online, but you were featured, and it was a very nice article, and certainly underscored the great work that you do in the community.
So yeah, thanks.
Very nice.
It was beautiful.
Congratulations.
Yes. To have such a nice article, and also talking about our friends at Oblong Books,
right,
and Inquiring Minds, and also Half Moon Books, which is a groovy used bookstore in Kingston.
You guys are doing good work.
Thank you very much.
It's good stuff. So where would you like to begin?
Well, where is the operative word? I feel like in summertime, you know, it's about place. And we all have different relationships with the places that we go and visit, where we live, where we vacation. And so, I don't know, the theme of these books today are journey. And they're really different books.
All right.
The first book that I want to start off with is a photo book, which is always difficult to describe over the air to listeners, but this is such a cool book. It's called A Tale of Two Cities, Disco Era Bushwick, and it's by Merrill Meisler. And, you know, I mean, there's probably hundreds, if not thousands of photo books on New York City. And this is one which contrasts pictures taken by the photographer of her life visiting discos in the 1970s.
Oh, wow.
With her life as an art teacher at the same time in Bushwick, Brooklyn. And the pages contrast. So, for instance, one of my favorite pages is a beautiful picture of Grace Joan arriving on opening night at La Farfalle with Yvette on graduation day in Bushwick, Brooklyn. And you
look
can
at that.
And you cannot, the pride and the beauty in each of the pictures is amazing, totally different. Two different parts of the city talking to each other in a very specific time, two worlds that didn't collide, two worlds that are gone. And this book has been like super hot in a lot of bookstores. It's a publisher is a nightclub in New York City called Bizarre, because they were showing an exhibit of Merrill's work where they like put it behind kind of bulletproof glass, you know, and
right.
You could dance and look at the pictures. And then they decided to put together this book, and it's just so cool. So please go to your local indie bookstore and see if they are carrying A Tale of Two Cities, Disco Era Bushwick.
Tale of Two Cities, it's Merrill Meisler, and it's a beautiful book.
So the next book that I wanted to talk about is called Kingston, the IBM Years, by the Friends of Historic Kingston, and published by one of our beloved sort of local publishers, Black Dome Press, which specializes in all kinds of local histories and also hiking and all that kind of stuff. And this is an oral history of Kingston, IBM in Kingston. IBM was a major employer for 30 years from the mid-1950s through the late 1980s. And this is an oral history of memories, including people that worked there, and also including someone like Gail Godwin, who has a beautiful essay in here. There are incredible pictures. And, you know, in the Hudson Valley, we're like up close with our ghosts of employers of past history. And you see the artifacts all the time in downtown areas. And I drive by the old IBM plant very regularly, and it speaks loudly, and its absence speaks out loudly. And I think that there'll be, in the years to come, lots of books that talk about this, and it's so prevalent, I think, in our local history in Ulster County. But this is a really cool book that captures what the culture there was like and also what its absence is like. So
the book is Kingston, the IBM Years by Friends of Historic Kingston, and just a fascinating story.
Yeah. This next book is called The Short and Tragic Life of Robert Peace, a brilliant young man who left Newark for the Ivy League. The author is Jeff Hobbs. This book is not published yet. It's coming out in September, so you can't find it on the shelves now, but keep and look out for it. I read this book. It's And like, I was kind of crying the whole time. It is an amazing book. Robert Peace was born in Newark, New Jersey to a single mom, African-American kid, loved his dad. Dad was involved in the drug trade. His dad was imprisoned for perhaps committing a double murder, but perhaps not. Robert, by any stretch of the imagination, was a brilliant boy. His mom got him into parochial school, the parochial school in Newark, where he excelled. He was a brilliant student. He was captain of the water polo team. He worked. He made money for his mom. He loved his friends. He got into every college he applied for. A benefactor who graduated from the school paid for him to go to Yale. He went to Yale and, by all accounts, aced it. He was a major in hard science on the water polo team, in kind of like when it tapped for one of the secret societies, and he was dealing pot on the side, discreetly, and making an awful lot of money.
Wow.
He graduated. He left a trunkload of money with a beloved family friend. He took off to Brazil and came back, and the money was gone. And he had to kind of grapple with setting up his life after that, and he struggled. And ultimately, he was drawn into the drug trade in Newark. He was growing his own pot, and he was murdered. And this book is written by his roommate at Yale. And in some ways, his life is like a headline, and it's simple. But this book really draws out, like, you really feel every step of the journey. And I don't know if it's just his ability to kind of bring out, you know, really make you viscerally feel these choices. And maybe it's because you know it's going to happen. It's much more than a sociological sketch. It's so good. So please keep your eye on this journey, a journey that should be of success but is of tragedy.
The Short and Tragic Life of Robert Peace. It is by Jeff Hobbs and will be out in just a few weeks.
So the next book, you know, truthfully, I really love coming here to talk about books, but right now I'd rather be at home reading this one.
Understood.
Which is the new book by Murakami on shelves today, bookstores all over the country. So run and get it. It's called The Colorless Sakura Tazaki and His Years of Pilgrimage. I'm about 100 pages in. I haven't finished it yet. Haruki Murakami is Japan's greatest living writer and arguably one of the greatest living writers today. I've only read 1Q84, but his books are provocative and they're challenging and they're about love and they're about sex and they're about alienation from society and they're about so much more because they're always about the interior world as well. And so in this book, we meet Sakura Tazaki, who is, by all accounts, a fairly successful, eligible, mid-30-year-old Japanese professional who he builds train stations. Immediately, we're introduced to the fact that something traumatic happened in his young life when he was 20 years old, where his four close friends, the five of them, formed their own kind of beautiful society. And the nicknames for his friends were Red, Blue, White, and Black. Mm. And Sakura didn't have a nickname. He was colorless, hence the title. Anyway, they inform him when he comes home from break during his junior year at Tokyo University that they could no longer be friends. They cut him off. And this leads him into a kind of a hole of depression, and he contemplates suicide. So in the first 100 pages, anyway, we're flipping back with finding out that story and also understanding Sakura as an adult and some of the friendships that he forms. And he's just met, hooked up with this girl who I think is going to force him to confront this past and sort of the existential hole that it leaves in him. Like a lot of Murakami books, music plays a central role. And here, the Franz Liszt composition, Years of Pilgrimage, is going to be central. One of the really cool things about Murakami, if you go visit the Random House website, go to the Murakami page and there's like a playlist and all of the songs and all of his books are there.
Yeah,
and it's really,
so cool.
It's so cool. So what? This book is so beautifully, tightly written. It's amazing. Oh, and the cover is gorgeous.
It looks really neat.
Like, look at this. It's a map of the Tokyo rail station
Wow.
embedded in the cover, and it's the book cut is kind of short. It's not as tall as a normal book is, and anyway. Really, readers, listeners, go out there and buy the book, read it, and I'm sure there'll be other booksellers talking about the book over the next couple weeks.
And this is, well, first of all, it's a lot shorter than his last book, so amen to that.
Not that
I didn't enjoy every page, but it is it was a bit daunting at times.
Mm-hmm.
But this is great, and my God, what a writer.
I know.
Oh, what great stuff.
I know.
Cool. It's colorless...
Sukuru
Tazaki.
Yes.
And his years of pilgrimage.
Yes.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Next.
So this weekend is the 45th anniversary of the Woodstock Festival. And I live in Woodstock, and it's a town, as kind of a beloved local artist said to me fairly recently, it's the most ironic town in America because it's famous for something that didn't happen there. And that's true.
It's all true, right?
Except that it's a town where people have been coming to seek their utopias for years. And certainly the Woodstock Festival represented a temporary utopia, a coda on the 60s. You name it, it's been said about the Woodstock Festival. So we sell a lot of books about Woodstock, as you can imagine. And three that I wanted to briefly talk about today are wonderful places to start if you want to explore deeper everything about the festival. One beautiful book that I feel connects a little bit the past of Woodstock to the festival is Elliot Landy's Woodstock Vision. It's a photo book. It's gorgeous. There's beautiful text. And it talks about it. It has the arc of the 60s. Specifically in Woodstock, lots of the musicians that lived there and made the community that it was in the 60s, all the way up to and including the festivals. And the pictures are amazing. And it's just a beautiful book to have in anybody's collection, especially if they're interested in music and Woodstock specifically. Another book recently reissued, it was published first in 1979, is a book by Bob Spitz, and it's called Barefoot in Babylon, The Creation of the Woodstock Music Festival. And this is one of those books where, you know, you have the cast of characters at the beginning, you have the protagonist being the four organizers of the festival, Artie Cornfield, Michael Lang, John Roberts, and Joel Rosenman, and all the staff, and then all the musicians, and this attempts to tell the whole warts and all story. And so, recently reissued, like I said, Barefoot in Babylon by Bob Spitz. One of my favorites to sell, and we sell it all the time at the store, and it just came out a few years ago, is The Road to Woodstock, and it's by Michael Lang with Holly George Warren. And this Michael was, you know, the person behind the festival. It's primary architect and planner, and central spiritual force in many ways, and it's very oriented about the logistics. It touches on all the music, of course, but it's all about how it happened, and it's slightly told in oral history style, but it's a really fascinating book. And if you want to like really understand how, you know, 250,000 people came to the middle of nowhere. I actually went to Bethel for the first time about a week ago because my son was playing music there, and it's just like in the middle of nowhere.
It is in the middle of
nowhere. And it is real far from Woodstock. People come into our store all the time and say, where did the festival happen? And sometimes we say, oh, you know, right in the town green, but the aerial shots make it look a lot bigger. No, it was really far away. So anyway, 45th anniversary of Woodstock, and in my town, I will be enjoying it, watching my son sing songs of the 69 festival with the Paul Green Rock Academy at the Colony Cafe. So I feel Woodstock is a town, has been a town of artists for many years, and it continues to be so. And anyway.
Well, thank you very much. It's all great stuff, and we'll let you get back to the Murakami book.
Thank you.
For more information on the Golden Notebook in Woodstock and the great work they do, you can visit their website. It's goldennotebook.com. Better yet, visit them at 29 Tinker Street in Woodstock. Jackie, it's always good to see you. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Joe.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.